Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, February 3rd, 2023. Happy Michael Jordan Day to everyone. 2-3, 2-3. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory. And alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to Tassie, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer, JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live on YouTube. Probably caught a few of you by surprise starting on time here today.
Gotcha.
Woohoo! Make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Comment away. Share the show. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Send in your questions and comments to nodunks@theathletic.com. Hit us up on Twitter at No Dunks Inc. Hit us up on TikTok at No Dunks Inc. We just hit 1 million likes in mere months of being on TikTok. Well, I mean, I guess we were there, but we weren't really doing anything. And now the content's flying.
We stepped up our game.
1 million
There's
likes.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, thanks to everybody for liking our stuff on TikTok. 2 weeks from today, we're live in Salt Lake City. I can't believe it. 2 weeks, 14 days. Tickets are still available. Use that link in the show notes. Friday, February 17th at the Urban Lounge. And I have been told there are a few VIP meet and greet tickets still available. So if you would like to get one of those, what that does is it gets you an hour pregame show, really. I mean, hangout with us before the live show. Gets you preferred seating. So if you want to do that, get a VIP ticket. Oh, hey, I pitched the No Dunk store. I pitched the Salt Lake City live show. These two things merging. Look at this little alpha here, guys. For everybody joining us on YouTube, oh, it's coming real soon. The No Dunks jazz jersey.
Ooh,
yeah. Oh, the Michael Jordan number on a jazz jersey. TK, you did it. Anyway, this will be going on sale in our No Dunks store next Friday. Okay? Just want to get you hyped for that.
Feb 12.
That's nice.
You haven't even seen it.
Take a look at it.
Feel it. Smell it. Put it on.
It's too heavy.
Too heavy, Tess.
How am I gonna dunk?
Forget about, man. It's cold in Salt Lake City.
It's a real jersey. That's why.
Oh my god, yeah.
Very, very
heavier
nice.
Than our previous
high quality.
Jerseys.
Yeah, we did that for Cleveland. That was a big hit. Doing it for Utah
have
here.
A heft to it. I like that.
And there's only gonna be 100 of these. So once this goes up for sale, we'll let you know next Friday. Act quickly, because I believe we flew through those last year.
Yes.
The
cast yes, indeed.
Jerseys. I think this is better than last year's. I just like the color palette. The style, a little bit better than the old Cavs. Hey, you could disagree. I know you've rocked that before at pickups. The Cavs,
I do love
the Cavs
it.
One,
I do
yeah.
love the Cavs one. But yeah. I've always said these are incredible jerseys, these Utah Jazz jerseys. But the worst part of it is it says Jazz on the front. We fixed it for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Now it's a great jersey.
Yeah, no dunks. Okay, on today's Drop podcast, we're going to touch on a few of last night's games. You know Dylan Brooks is going to warrant at least a mention in the Worst of the Week.
You bet.
Nominees. He's probably already wrapped that up. Trey has a new batch of 5-star Friday reviews. Got a good crew?
Got a good crew.
Good.
Nice crop here. I'll say it's all, like, friendship themed.
All right.
Which was a surprise to me when I was pulling them. I was like, man, a lot of friendship out here.
Okay, great.
A lot of friendship.
And we will end this drop podcast with a little rapid fire fun, some hilarious questions and answers. But first, the coaches have had their say. All right? We have our 2023 NBA All-Star Reserves. Let's start in the West. Just keep you on your toes. I feel like we usually start with the East, but not today. Western Conference All-Star Reserves. The Athletic helping us out with this board here. So in order, guards to then the forward center spots. It's Damian Lillard. It's Paul George. Is he a guard? He might be a forward. Ja Morant, Shea Gildas-Alexander, Lauri Markkanen, Domantas Sabonis, and Jaren Jackson Jr. So there are the 7 All-Star Reserves tasks, and all anybody wants to talk about is who's the biggest snub. But yeah, your Western Conference snubs, your reaction to the coaches' selections, anything you want to tackle here.
Well, yeah, you got to talk about the snubs first. I think De'Aaron Fox got snubbed just because of the way the ballot is proposed to the coaches. I think that's a part of it because they get the ballot. They have to take 2 guards and 3 forwards to start. So the 2 guards they look at, it's got to be Ja and Shea.
Yes.
It's got to be. Now, they go through the forward spots, and then they get to the wild cards, and they decide on that. And so, obviously, De'Aaron Fox can make it as a wild card, but the forward spot was easier to sneak in, and I think that's why Jaren Jackson Jr. is there, and he snuck in there, and that's why the Grizzlies only the only team in the Western Conference to have 2 All-Stars. And then they got to the wild card spot where Sabonis took some votes from Fox, I believe. And, you know, they just dabble and take a guy from each team. Paul George, oh, yeah, he's good. Damian Lillard, oh, yeah, he's good. Mm-hmm. And that's how they decide on the last 2 wild card spots. So it's a numbers game. I don't like saying that. Sabonis took some votes, I'm sure, from De'Aaron Fox as well. We'll take 1 king, and that's it. So just drop this ballot. Just get the 24 best players out there.
Do you want to expand it? There's a lot of talk about that.
Yeah, people going into the
numbers. We do this every All-Star season.
But
the idea of, like, the snubs, I'm like, why don't we expand it? Why is it just 12 All-Stars? Why isn't it 15? I mean, we hear this every year.
Yeah,
it's
we've been doing this for a long time, but yeah. I think this year it's taken it to another level. The conversation has gone to another level about how many spots there should be.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent in the league.
A lot of talent in the league. Yeah. We've had 24 spots for a long time. The league has expanded since
then. Right.
Why the heck not? I mean, really, 27 or 28 guys are going to get in in the end.
Oh, when you get
guys
into
are
injuries.
Injured.
Yeah, I mean, is Zion playing in this game? Probably not, right?
Not likely.
I don't think so. I mean, yeah.
Booker's not a lock. Durant's not a lock.
Booker didn't make it.
No, not Booker.
Yeah, but KD. Jeez, sorry, KD said sorry, he Booker. Wanted to play, right?
Yeah.
Like, he said he wanted to play, but no movement on that. So that's there's 2 spots, it seems like, up for grab.
Right.
Grabs. I guess Luka had his weird fall last night, so maybe a third, though I assume he'll be back in time. But yeah, it does. Even though the rosters have stayed the same size since there were 12 teams in the league, it does always get to like 26 or something like that. And honestly, snubs are good for all-star chatter, I think, because it makes you focus on the guys who didn't make the team, which then, you know, just shines a light on a player like De'Aaron Fox or Anthony Edwards, who could have made this certainly, and maybe will next season. But people always say, if you're going to talk about snubs, who are you taking off?
Yeah.
And you know it's Paul George. The only case this guy has is his resume, his numbers, and his team winning. Other than that, though, other than that, how are you putting Paul George on this team? I kid. He's a great choice here as well. And clearly, it seems like the coaches were valuing games and minutes played. No Anthony Davis, no Devin Booker.
Right.
I mean, those guys are 2 of the top 12 players in the Western Conference. No doubt about it. Booker, not healthy yet. AD, he's playing. He had a nice contribution to the game last night, but he's happy to be going on vacation with his wife, so no sweat off his back. But I don't know. There's just a lot of all-stars out there.
Yeah, the only thing I'll push back on that, you're right. Like, they obviously, the coaches for the most part were like, okay, you got to be playing right now or you've had to have played this many games. But then there is this weird thing with Jaren Jackson Jr. having not played a whole lot more than a guy like AD. Games, yes, But he fouls out sometimes. He doesn't play as many minutes as AD. So it's like very, very similar when you get into the minutes. I know that's getting into the minutiae here.
He kind of got a Gobert nod here, I think.
Defense.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert made many All-Star games because he was the best defender in the league and likely a defensive player of the year at the end of the season. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is getting the same. One team, or there's one player on each team who gets in for defense. And I think that's fair. One of 12. That's all we need.
Yeah, and the ballot helped him out as well because there weren't three enormous locks at the forward spot
right.
when coaches looked at it. And, yeah, they definitely have Jaren Jackson Jr. on their mind when they go play the Memphis Grizzlies, mm-hmm. more so than Aaron Gordon, who missed out as the number one guy on the number one seed. I think that was part of it. You know, it's hard to get into the mind of 30 NBA coaches to try and figure out what they're doing. That's why I think they should live stream it. Live stream everybody looking through their ballot and figuring it out. But it sure feels like to me, I forget that it's two guards, three forwards, and two wild cards. And so they filled out those two guards in the Western Conference very simply, very easily.
And then Lillard being the third one.
Done.
For a wild card automatically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then it's, Paul George is winning. Resume, standings, fairly good.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
It's something. Yeah, these guys probably go and do it fairly quickly. And so, yeah, it hurts Fox and Edwards' chances in this instance. That's for sure.
Look, and we've heard for years now that the coaches don't give a shit about this either, honestly. Which is a little worrisome when you think about how important we at least attach all-star appearances to a player's legacy. And then also there's money involved in this too, in terms of guys hitting bonuses and making it. Like, you would hope they would take it, some more than others, a little more seriously, because we hear like, yeah, they just hand it to an assistant. They say, I'm trying to win games. I don't care about an exhibition game and who makes it, and so they pass it off. We never find out their votes. There is that too. We don't even know if they even all hand in their votes, let's be honest. We don't know there's 30 actual ballots coming into the league. No clue. We could have five coaches in each conference. They just don't do it. I don't know if the NBA pushes back on that. You gotta do it. You gotta fill it out. Can't vote for your own guy. That is one of the rules we know. But yeah. I would like to see it at least released. Even if we don't find out Michael Malone's ballot, here it is. We don't have to get into that detail, but it'd be nice to see where all the votes went. How did Fox just miss out? Did Edwards just miss out? That'd be more content for us.
Yeah. Or if an assistant filled it out for him.
Sure.
Let's say
fingerprint their ballots.
Yeah.
Fingerprint, facial recognition, get facial recognition
James
on their
Dolan's
computers.
Like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Scan their face, check their IP address, make sure no one else is in their office when they do it. But it does factor into money. Domantas Sabonis made a $1.3 million bonus for his All-Star selection, according to Bobby Marks of ESPN. Now, it's not the same sort of money as All-NBA when that happens, when those are voted for. If you make an All-NBA team, quite often, you can, you know, it's the whole Derrick Rose rule. You can make a higher amount on your extension. Mm-hmm. But 1.3 is a decent amount. So you guys, as the Kings lovers, are you okay with Sabonis getting the All-Star nod over Fox? If you had to pick one.
I think both should be. To me, De'Aaron Fox is the biggest snub in the Western Conference. And if you're going to play the game and you say a snub, you got to take somebody off. Yeah. I'm honestly probably taking off Paul George and Jaren Jackson Jr. and leaning towards De'Aaron Fox, who's very deserving with his team being the third seed, and him like being so clutch and just being so important to that team, just as much as Sabonis, in my opinion. And then, hey, lean into the young rising star of an Anthony Edwards or something like that. I think he's the only guy on a top six team that doesn't have an all-star rep, the Minnesota Timberwolves. I believe that's true. So I would go those two. Those two would come off, PG and Jaren Jackson Jr. But you guys are right. Hopefully they both make it there in the end because of injury replacements. But yeah, Fox is deserving.
Oh yeah, I know. I mean, I was trying to put you in a corner to say pick one between Sabonis and Fox.
Sabonis for me. Easy choice.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, yeah,
he was on my team.
I will even have to, if you have a gun to my head, you got to pick one king for the Western Conference reserves. I'm going to take Sabonis. And you make a great point because there's just way more talent at the guard position in the West, too. There are three guys I have to have above Fox and Shea, John Morant, and then Damian Lillard. So he does go to fourth, but there's a spot for him on my team. Let's move to the East. DeMar DeRozan's there. Again, listed as a guard in some of the things I'm seeing. That guy hasn't played a minute at the guard position since like 2018-19, but who cares? He's on the team. Jaylen Brown, he's a guard, I guess. Drew Holiday, Tyrese Halliburton, and then your bigs, Bam Adebayo, Joel Embiid, and Julius Randle. TK, let's start with you. Eastern Conference snubs and reaction.
I mean, I was pleasantly surprised to see DeRozan made the team. Even I didn't make a case. Didn't have him on my team because the Bulls are pretty mid. Mm-hmm. But I think kind of indisputable that DeRozan has been one of the top 12 guys in the East. 26 per game, 15th in the league in scoring, 51% from the field. Tied with De'Aaron Fox for clutch points per game. Top 10 in fourth quarter scoring. He deserves it. It was between basically him, Trae Young, Jalen Brunson, and Pascal Siakam. I think getting into that last slot is kind of what it feels like to me. And I guess DeRozan is, I don't know, the most liked of those guys. I don't know. Siakam is up there. Brunson is up there. But a younger guy and Trae Young, his rep is just very down right now. But the biggest surprise of all to me is Jrue Holiday making the team. It felt like his candidacy had kind of fallen away in the past couple of weeks. He's missed 11 games. He's only played 100 minutes more than James Harden this season, which is surprising.
However,
I think that with the voting period, he had those back-to-back games where he had 35 and 37 and drugged the Drug? He dragged the Bucks to a couple of wins right in the middle of January. Very Jimmy Butler-esque. I think Giannis was missing time even at the point, and they needed Jrue to like put the team on his back, and he certainly did it. So I was just surprised to see that he made the team. Not necessarily that he doesn't deserve it, but it felt like there were others ahead of him at this point.
Totally agree. The Jrue Holiday inclusion, as much as coaches want him on their team for a playoff series and all that, he just hasn't been even league average in terms of true shooting percentage, and that's important. It is important to be an all-star, to be one of the 12 best, to be sort of below league average at shooting the ball. And that's why Trae Young shouldn't be on this team either, despite his counting stats. To me, DeRozan, his inclusion, which I had him on my team, he's been extremely good. It's a bit of the Paul George situation in the Western Conference. He's got the rep.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. So good. And so he's on there. But
the difference is the Bulls have a worse record.
That's the difference.
Raptors and Siakam missing out than Paul George and the Clips.
Yeah. In the East, it's easier to get in. You just have to make your decision as to what your criteria is, because as Trey said, he really makes it over Siakam, another bad team. Jimmy missed time, would be a second All-Star on that team because Bam had to make it. And your Trae Young, who's inefficient.
Jalen Brunson.
The Jalen Brunson one, the second guy on that team because Randall's there. Every team has a hole. You have a reason to really keep somebody off in the Eastern Conference. So what's your criteria? And that's why DeRozan, I think, is had a great year, efficient, and has the rep.
And you slipped it in there. Big part of this, well-liked. Coaches love DeMar DeRozan, and they love Jrue Holiday.
Yeah.
Well, let me put it this way. They like those guys a lot more than they like your Trae Youngs and your James Hardens of the world. That's a big, big part of this. That's fine. It's their vote. I have a couple other notes here. Four players that were traded for each other this past year, all named to the All-Star game, which we thought was going to happen, but pretty wild. Lauri Markkanen and Donovan Mitchell in that trade, and then Tyrese Halliburton and Sabonis in that trade, obviously, last year. That's just nuts.
And they play tonight, Sabonis and Halliburton.
Oh, there you go. Jrue Holiday, you know, as a surprise All-Star, I think a lot of people were caught off guard by that one.
Yeah.
But he did make his All-Star game, his second one, a decade apart. Remember I was bringing this up a couple months ago because I was like, there was like a little buzz for Brooke Lopez possibly being a second bucket. I think this was months ago now to maybe make that team. And he hadn't made it in a long, long time, 10 years ago. Well, Jrue Holiday sets a record, I believe, being a guy to make it 10 years ago, his first one, and then 10 years later, his second. So that is nuts. And it does appear, when you look at both of these teams, that the coaches did sort of have some sort of, like, cutoff of, like, games played. Like, now, they tweaked it a little bit, but it was, like, sort of 35 games, it felt like. Even though Jimmy Butler did play more than that, so he misses it with, like, 37, 38. But the no AD, the no Kawhi, the no Harden even is still a little under that. No Booker, of course, under 30. So I guess they do believe availability is a great ability in the NBA.
Yeah.
Which is fair. And I mean, I generally think you should have some sort of cutoff, but that's sort of where they drew the line. But then it gets a little murky with your Jaren Jackson Juniors and some other ones.
And you mentioned Devin Booker, and I misspoke. I slipped in and said he made the team, I guess because I figured, you know, he is one of the best 12 players in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
But just to bring him up again, because Booker, Edwards, and Fox all took votes away from each other. I assume with these guards that, again, you can find a reason not to put them on. But there's just too many Western Conference guards,
mm-hmm.
really.
Mm-hmm.
Even Paul George is a guard. What? That doesn't make sense. You know, they slipped him in there at the guard spot. Yeah, so that's a tough spot. It's a tough spot for the Fox. Couldn't find the Fox hole to get in, I guess. Who do you take off? Yeah, I understand you take off Paul George. He hasn't been as spectacular as De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
The market hurts De'Aaron Fox as well. I think that's a tiny part of it.
I think there's more buzz for the Kings than there is for the Clippers this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the second one. Being the second
it's the
guy
second
on
guy.
It's the second. That happens to Brunson here, probably Jimmy. Yeah. You had to. It feels like, I mean, the Grizzlies get two. They're not on a great stretch right now, but they're near the top of the Western Conference standings. You know, Nuggets fans are very pissed, and they believe, like, should Aaron Gordon have gotten more consideration? I mean, hell, maybe even Jamal Murray at this point, the heater he's on, but they only have one there in Jokic. In fact, has anybody ever joined Jokic on an All-Star team? No.
Not yet.
But anyway, there's a lot of snubs.
Look, I'm happy Anthony Davis isn't there as a second Laker, because he could have snuck in.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't have made sense.
But his numbers are amazing. Hold on, but like, Anthony Davis is better than Jaren Jackson Jr. You agree with that?
Yeah. Yes.
But he hasn't played.
He's played just as much as him.
No, last week when they made their vote.
This is the weird part. Well, I mean, you can say, like,
when they made their votes, he came back after he made their votes. So
you do forget that they didn't make their vote live last night. Maybe that's the way to go.
Live.
Yeah, right? There, just get all 30 coaches on a Zoom call and have Ernie ask them for their votes right then and there. That wouldn't be confusing.
I'd say, Jaren Jackson Jr., what's the gap there? Six
well,
games.
Minutes.
Davis has played 20 more minutes.
So it's like...
Yeah, he doesn't play a lot of minutes. Jaren Jackson,
no.
He's played six more games,
which is
something. Jaren Jackson, what he's doing in those minutes. Very impressive. Leading the league in blocks in merely 27 minutes per game.
Well, look, let's get
books, man.
Let's get true sicko style here and name an entire third All-Star team with just the snubs.
Let's go.
Okay?
Let's go.
This is my all-snub All-Star team. I got your starters, and I got your reserves, I got snubs on snubs.
Oh, my goodness.
Your guards, Jalen Brunson and De'Aaron Fox. I'm going to show a little love to the East, a little love to the West when it comes to starting. Forwards, I'm going Jimmy Butler and Pascal Siakam. Center, Anthony Davis. Brunson, Fox, Butler, Siakam, Davis. Damn good team. All right.
Oh, old school with a center position.
That's right. Your reserves, I am doing it. Coach's reserve style, two guards, three forwards, two wild cards. Okay, my guards, James Harden and Anthony Edwards. Forwards, Aaron Gordon, Kawhi Leonard. I forgot to say that in this exercise, get out of here, games played. Have you played a game? Are you good? You're in.
One game only.
AG, Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Kuzma. All right,
yeah,
guys, it's starting to get a little tough to find a third forward on the all-snub, all-star team. But anyway, Kuzma's in there. And then wild cards, that leaves two spots for honestly a lot of guys. I'm going to go Devin Booker because I just said, like, it doesn't matter if you haven't hit 30 games in this little exercise here. A groin strain has kept him out for a long time. He hasn't played since, like, Christmas, right? But there's no denying when he was playing and the numbers he was putting up, and the team winning, like the impact he was having. So Booker as my one wild card. And then, ooh, that last spot. It'll have people debating on other podcasts about my all-snub, all-star team. I'm going to go Trae Young. I know it's not a favorite pick for some people. They don't like him. But his numbers are amazing. They really are. And yeah, he's having a down year efficiency-wise, but the Hawks are also not bad. But
they're 500.
It came down to Trae Young. It came down to Darius Garland. It came down to Zach LaVine. Even DeJounte Murray. And then Brooke Lopez and CJ McCollum.
What about a Paolo Banchero?
Yeah, sure. That's a nice snub. A nice snub to a snub.
Did you say Jamal Murray?
No, I didn't. Thank you. Mm. No, yeah, he would be included in that. I don't think he'd make my team, but he'd be included in that. I went with Aaron Gordon instead. I'm not gonna have three Nuggets on my three All-Star teams. Are you nuts? All right, so that's the all snub All-Star team. That'd be fun. Like, imagine what should happen is they should like crash the All-Star game, NWO style, and just come in, start fighting everybody. new world order.
Would the All-Stars play harder if they had to play an All-Snubs team?
The
Snubs would play hard.
They would prove something.
They wouldn't show up, but they would play hard if they showed up.
All right, who did I miss from my All-Snub All-Star team?
Well, I think your biggest snub is having Devin Booker so low on the team. Oh, yeah, if you don't care about games played, that guy should be starting for the Snubs.
Okay,
he's an MVP candidate.
Okay, you're right. So I should have him starting over probably Brunson.
Yes.
Okay, Booker, Fox, Brunson gets moved to the reserves. Will there be injury replacements on my all-snub all-star team? So hold on, just to go back to it. Trey, do you want to expand the rosters? Would you like to see it go to 15, or are you fine with the debates that we have with 12?
Hearing your third team, I'm happy with 12.
That's how I feel about it.
It's better to talk about snubs who are legit snubs than talking about should this third guy on a team have made it an all-star team.
Yeah.
I think it is much better how it is now. But it is kind of a bummer that they haven't expanded it just because the owners in the league don't want to have to pay up. And that's why it is. Mm. Because this does tie into money stuff, right? Like if you're making all-star teams, even if you're the 13th guy, that counts for your contract incentives. Yep. And they're cheaping out, baby.
Yeah, the one thing it does do, just making it a more of an exclusive club, it makes those conversations about the Hall of Fame resumes a little bit more substantial, a little more credibility to that all-star appearance, mm-hmm. right? Because you're among 24 of the 400 best players in the world, rather than 30. I guess that really doesn't matter, but it matters to some degree. And then it gives it a little more juice after looking back and looking at all the all-star appearances of guys in the past. Yeah, I like it. It keeps the old stats the same as well. You know, this ain't the three-point contest where you add a new rack that's got 60,000 points, Mountain Dew.
Don't forget the Dew spot, which is now the, what is it, Starry spot?
Starry spot. Starry zone? What was it called?
You called it. Oh, it was the Dew zone.
Yeah.
And it's now the Starry spot?
Yeah.
You could have had Sierra Mist on that spot.
Well, Sierra Mist is now Starry, right?
Yeah, they sunsetted Sierra Mist. Starry Range.
Starry Range
is what it's called. It's worth 3 points if you make it in Starry Range. Each round is worth a total of 40 points now.
No, I thought that was the case.
Is that what it was last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so.
Okay.
Sunsetted Sierra Mist, and then the stars came out.
Stars come out of
Starry. Have you seen it? Have you seen how it looks? It looks like a washing detergent. To me, it's almost too.
A lemon scented detergent.
Yeah,
doesn't
seem
like a soda. I agree.
No. All right. The snubs. Let's hear your biggest snub when it comes to either of the conferences. I will say, like these all-star reserve announcements, both guys who made it, and then of course all the guys who missed out. It does reinforce just like how talent-packed the NBA is right now. There have been years we are not going this deep into all-star snubs, where it does feel like 4, 5, 6 guys have like legitimate cases. So that's good. It's better to have these arguments. That means your league is loaded with talent. It also means, a big part of it, the parity, or like all these teams bunched up and not a ton of games separating a lot of them, where it's like, oh geez, well it's not like they're like 10 games clear of everybody. They gotta have 3 all-stars, which we've seen before, and it's fine. That's just so jumbled. So I don't know, I love this. Let's take a break. When we come back, worst of the week nominees, watch your dicks.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory. There are over 1,000 legends watching this live stream right now, but just over 100 likes. Mm. The math doesn't make sense. Take a second. Just hit the dumb little thumbs up button. Again, it does nothing except make us feel good. So please hit that like button and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Okay, let's get to Worst of the Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Worst of the Week.
Four nominees.
Yeah.
The first one, an angry Canadian. I thought you were, you know, sort of veering into the realm of an angry Dylan Brooks there for a second there, yelling about the
Come
thumbs.
Here.
You're going to punch me right in the thumb.
I'll punch you right in the thumb. your dick looks like a thumb?
Got a nail on top?
Oh, you might want to get that looked at.
Anyway. Yeah.
Getting punched in the thumb sounds painful.
Oh,
actually.
Yeah.
Give me a thumb here.
I was thinking more table thumb.
Oh, smash.
Ooh,
thumb.
Like a hammer, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
That was dumb. That was dumb.
Nah. It's a pleasure. Pain is pleasure. All right. That's what Dylan Brooks says. Because he hit Donovan Mitchell right in the groin Thursday night. TNT. We got a great game. Grizzlies, Cavs. Dylan Brooks takes it to the rack, falls down, and then, you know, in sort of a pretend rolling over with his arms straight up as he hit the floor on the layup attempt, he hit Donovan Mitchell directly in the groin on purpose. Now, Mitchell ended up with the ball after Brooks shot, and as soon as he got hit in the groin, he fell down and threw the ball right at Dylan Brooks. Awesome. He got up, threw Brooks to the floor. An assistant coach for the Grizzlies came jumping in and grabbed Dylan Brooks. They tumbled to the ground. It was pretty funny. But obviously,
really nice tackle.
Yeah, obviously Dylan Brooks hit Mitchell on purpose, no matter how you slice it, whatever you think. Obviously, he hit him there. Dylan Brooks, a pest.
Yeah.
A pest, earning the first nomination. What did you guys think when you first saw this?
Well, I would like to honestly slip in a little Worst of the Week love to Reggie Miller on the call on this one, because it took him about 20 replays to figure out that Dylan Brooks purposely swiped at Donovan Mitchell's groin area there.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell.
He wasn't convinced Reggie wasn't for a while. This is Dylan Brooks. I've said it a million times on this podcast. The least Canadian of all time, Dylan Brooks. It just doesn't compute. But he's a dick, and he's hitting guys in the dick. That's all I got to say about it. I mean, I honestly don't really
Good
think...
Good take.
In a weird way, I don't think Donovan Mitchell should have been tossed.
No.
I mean,
yeah,
I get why the ball, throwing the ball and then
the
getting
shove.
Into it, but I think he could have got
a tech,
and then Dylan Brooks should have been tossed, but that's my take.
You should be allowed to throw a ball at a guy if they hit you in the nuts. That's my take. but yeah, Dylan Brooks, hopefully he gets suspended for 4 to 5 games, just because he's been a part of 2 bad looks right now. For the NBA recently, with the Shannon Sharp thing, which I'm now completely changing my mind. I don't think Dylan Brooks would have a chance against Shannon Sharp. He got tossed by Donovan Mitchell and then tackled by an assistant coach. That's 2 strikes against him. And then this, hitting a guy in the nuts on a national TV game. They got to do something about it. Exactly like Donovan Mitchell said. It's like, it's not just me. Everybody has a problem with Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
Once a ball puncher, always a ball puncher. Get him out of here.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, I critiqued Reggie and him sort of like taking a long time to maybe figure out that Brooks did this purposely. Harlan was amazing, though. Dropping a boink on one of the replays where Brooks hits him in the nuts.
Boink!
He dropped a boink. And he also, when it first went down, hold on, hold on, hold on! Harlan was on it. So, best of the week to Harlan. Worst of the week to Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks, yeah. He got up into Donovan Mitchell's face And as you said, Trey, he got thrown. He wasn't really looking a scrap. It was the whole, he played the whole I'm innocent
card.
Yeah,
that's like, what he does. Yeah.
Like, I didn't do that on purpose. So he wasn't there to scrap. He was just there to say, what?
And it's even it's like, you can even, he can make the case even like, what? I'm just rolling over. I'm just trying to get up. I don't know you're there. I'm not trying to hit you in the dick. Like, he can, whatever. I don't know if he has said that. I'm not sure he even talked to the media after the game.
They said they didn't want to talk about it. He agreed with the flagrant 2 call. And then John Morant says, we don't have beef with anybody. I thought this team wanted all the smoke.
Yeah,
is this a different Grizzlies team we're watching? They've got beef with a lot of teams.
And you
got
to hit him with a suspension that's somewhat substantial, as you said, Trey.
Wow, you think he's... I mean...
He won't. He won't. Because,
he won't, because but they should.
They should. And not just because of reputation, but it's clear what he's doing. And you just... No, he'll do it again. That's the point.
No, yeah.
You're not discouraging anything with a 1 or 2 game suspension, which is what he'll get a 1, I assume.
Hmm. I actually
hit him with a multiple that's higher than 3, I would say. You know, something like you said 4. I think that's reasonable.
I actually didn't even consider him getting a suspension here. So, but maybe you guys are right. I just liked last night the discourse on Twitter was like most hateable guys in the league, you know, so Dylan Brooks on that list, Patrick Beverley, you know, hated guys, irritable guys, you know, maybe if they're on your team, you love them, but if you're playing against them, you absolutely hate them. You know, Grayson Allen, Draymond Green, even still to some extent. I just thought that was fun. Everyone building their most hateable guys in the league, starting 5.
Yeah, the Draymond Green punch to LeBron's testicles came up.
Yeah.
Very much so. Just get away from the Hibberts, and you won't be hated. Yeah, I just don't like that. Pretend I'm not punching you in the nuts. If you're going to do it. Stand up. Get ready for it. I don't know why you would punch Donovan Mitchell. I mean, it was just a real cheap move. Anyways, worst of the week takes you through the range of emotions. Angry at Dylan Brooks. Here's a shocked one at James Harden. Have you seen this before? James Harden sitting on his bench during a game. A ball comes directly in front of him in play. It's in the corner. It's in play, live. And he just jumps off the bench and gets involved in the play and basically creates a steal. The most defense James Harden has ever played. Anyway, a technical was assessed after he stole the ball as the 6th man on the floor.
Well, no. Didn't they only have 4 guys on the floor? So then that's why he popped up off the bench. So he's like, you're supposed to be on.
Why is that a technical, though?
Well, sub. You can't do it during live action. I didn't realize.
Why not?
Well,
I mean, Alvarado hides on the baseline.
But he's in bounds.
It doesn't matter, though.
Well, it does matter. Of course it matters. That's why he's called against.
You can go out of bounds and come back in bounds.
That's fair. I didn't realize he was.
So you're saying why can't Alvarado, in theory, go hide behind a cheerleader in the front row? And then come on, is what you're saying.
Well, the difference
About Harden. And I'm saying this should not be a technical for having too few guys on the court and coming back on the court. That doesn't make sense to me. You don't get a penalty in the NFL if you have 10 men on the field. Mm-hmm. You get it if you have 12. Mm-hmm. You get a technical if you have 6 players on the court because that's too many. It's an advantage for the offense if you're playing 5-on-4. So I don't, like...
Yeah, I hear what
Is it possible Harden was still out of bounds when he made contact there with Tyrese Maxey and sort of... Yeah, triggered
tough,
the steal.
It's tough to see.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the reason why.
I hear what you're saying. If he kind of has to be like
maybe
he.
Not.
I guess the rule book will say he was subbed out of the game. I think he left the game, and didn't. You know, was subbed out by the NBA referee. You're on the bench, and then he's in play all of a sudden. Like Jose Alvarado going sneaking, you know, wherever he sneaks, he's. Legally one of the 5 members. Yeah. Legally.
But wasn't Harden legally one of the 5
guys?
Well,
that's the thing. Maybe not.
I think he got
maybe
subbed not. Out.
Well, then,
if he's on the bench like that.
He should be allowed to play with 4 players is what I'm saying.
Well, thank you for correcting me because I didn't realize after. Yeah. That was the Saturday game between the Sixers and Jokic. A great game. It surprised everybody because even Ryan Rucco, great play-by-play man, had to see it on replay to understand what the heck just happened because a dude doesn't usually come off the bench to play basketball. But that was pretty fun. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go to another one, another emotion. We're going to laugh at Dayron Sharp. The Nets big man just simply fell asleep playing basketball. Nets visiting the Celtics, an inbound play. The Celtics pass the ball to the weak side corner shooter. Sharp is guarding the corner shooter on the weak side. And this is, like, he is technically awake because if you watch him, he's looking at what's happening near the three-point line, near the top of the arc. It's like, you know, you fall asleep at work, but you fall asleep not paying attention to your job. Like, you're an Amazon picker. You're looking at the other person picking on the line, but you just forget about your line.
Yeah, yeah.
So, literally.
Daydreaming.
Yeah, daydreaming sharp. Dayron Sharp.
Dayron Dreamin'. I love how he's like, even when Al Horford is catching the ball and shooting it, he's like, pointing it out, like, yeah, we gotta be ready.
Yeah.
Watch for the cutters.
Yeah, he's
like, I'm locked in.
I like
I'm tuned
he
in.
He doesn't appear all that mad after either. He's like, damn.
It's like, nice. All right. Good luck.
Good play.
Maybe he's playing the percentages. Maybe he's
like
Al Horford.
Giving Horford that corner three. Maybe he thought someone was going to jump off the bench and play defense. Like Harden
did. Somebody's got that guy.
Yeah.
All right, final one here. Now it's time to get a little perplexed. The National Basketball Referees Association is our fourth Worst of the Week nominee. We talked about it on Monday because after Saturday when the Lakers visiting in Boston, the national TV game, tie game, LeBron goes to the rim, gets yanked by Jason Tatum, but it's not called a foul. The National Basketball Referees Association put out a tweet apologizing. Here's the tweet. Like everyone else, referees make mistakes. We made one at the end of last night's game, and that is gut-wrenching for us. This play will weigh heavily and cause sleepless nights as we strive to be the best referees we can be. You don't issue a tweet if you're the National Basketball Referees Association. Obviously, people upset that they issued a tweet after LeBron James was affected. I understand that. I'm more upset by the lack of impartiality, it seems like. The objectivity. You don't have to feel emotional. You missed a call. Done and done. And it feels like objectivity, which is what referees are supposed to be, gets thrown out the window when you bring emotions into it. So,
and really what you've done is now just have, anytime there's a controversial play at the end of a game, you have NBA players, forget NBA fans, you know, we're crazies, NBA players taking to Twitter, Larry Nance did it last night.
That was funny.
This play will weigh heavily and cause sleepless nights. I heard Tyrese Halliburton say the exact same thing in the Lakers crazy ending. So this is what they've done. They've done it to themselves. So, yeah. The sleepless nights comment.
Sleepless nights. Great line.
Yeah.
That was Monty McCutcheon who wrote that, I think.
You think he sleeps in the bow tie?
Well, he's got night tie. Of course.
Yeah, you're right.
Basketball players are getting better at Twitter, though. You mentioned there Larry Nance just jumping in. Josh Hart jumped in yesterday and said congrats to fake all-star Tyrese Halliburton because that's what Wally Zerbiak, a one-time all-star, do we consider him for the Hall of Fame? No. But he called Tyrese Halliburton a fake all-star.
Yeah.
NBA players getting better at Twitter. So Twitter, sometimes fun, sometimes not, sometimes just chaos.
So this is Dylan Brooks running away with Worst of the Week here. He slipped in at the last second, but
he slipped in.
Got it, right?
Yeah, the worst. Somebody was holding the Worst of the Week trophy, and he just came in and punched him directly in the testicles.
Yeah.
He said, James Harden, that's mine. Dayron Sharp, that's mine. Referees, Monty McCutcheon, that's mine. Give it to me. Unfortunate. Let's see what the front office does. I'm Googling right now because I want to see a suspension handed down. It needs to be done. Donovan Mitchell calls for NBA to take action. That's the latest headline seeing. That's 11 hours ago. Hasn't happened. Do it.
Keep your eye on it. Last night's games, just slip in a couple. Okay, we had Giannis going for 54. As the Bucks came back from 21 to beat the Clippers. RJ Barrett scored 30, helped the Knicks hold off the Heat 106-104. I hope you saw the ending of this game. The Knicks nearly had an epic meltdown.
Yeah.
And then LeBron, he closes in on the scoring record, right? He's getting, 63 points away from Kareem's all-time record there, points scored. As the Lakers rallied past the Pacers, that game was pretty crazy, the ending to that as well. Any thoughts on any or all of those games?
I want Trey to take it away because I know we both want to read Giannis's quote.
Oh, you want to talk about Culver's?
Yeah. And you have more experience with Culver's than I do.
Yeah, Culver's is pretty good. Giannis said, tomorrow I think I'm going to Culver's. I'll go get 50 cheeseburgers and try to eat as many as I can. The rest I'll have my son eat them or give them to my dog.
Because he ate 50 nuggets. Or he ordered 50 nuggets.
He ate 50 nuggets.
After dropping 50 in the NBA Finals.
Yes. Yes.
Chick-fil-A nugs.
Chick-fil-A.
Honestly.
Small nugs, if we're being honest.
Good ones, though.
They're very good.
Yeah, you
good,
can do 50
but,
of that.
Yeah, they're not
50
that
burgers. That's
oh, geez. Yeah,
that's a tough right call. That's a tough call there.
50 sliders. That's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But I actually just, I kind of felt bad for Zubats in this game because Giannis was incredible. And I felt like Zubats was playing pretty solid defense. He was there with like every single challenge. There was a tip dunk Giannis had where like Zubats boxed out. He skies up for the rebound. But then Giannis just like, oops, sorry, a little taller, a little more athletic. Zubats was in the right spots, but Giannis was Giannis. I turned off this game at the end of the third quarter. I was like, no way. Giannis is the only guy out there scoring.
Yeah.
That was enough, though. Yeah. 54 points. Incredible stuff. 350-point games in the last month for Giannis, and he's on the fringes of MVP candidacy right now.
It is wild looking at that box score, watching what happened in this game, because I thought Zubats, as you said, pretty good matchup for Giannis, guarding him to start the game. Giannis started slow, wasn't going into the lane, but then they sent Zubats to the bench, and then all hell broke loose because you just gave Giannis a bit of an opening to feel it out. The Clippers aren't playing a backup big. They played Robert Covington. He's not a backup big against Giannis Antetokounmpo. So he got his flow, and what a pleasure to play with Giannis Antetokounmpo, because even if he has a bad first quarter like he did, he's just going to keep going.
Yeah.
And
relentless.
Yeah, he gets his team going. So they had no one to guard him. Zubats ended up fouling out because Giannis ended up rolling. And as you said, 20 of his 54 in the fourth quarter. And you look up and down. Okay, who else contributed on this team? Chris Middleton is starting to get his flow off the bench, but wild stuff from the bench. Like Javon Carter was a plus 23 because he played with Giannis Antetokounmpo. He scored 0 points. It's Drew Holiday woke up in the end. He started, I think, 0-for-8 and then woke up at the end. But Giannis just willed this team to another victory.
As for that Lakers game, I thought AD was a monster down the stretch. He hit the basically the game winner, that fadeaway jumper with like 30 seconds to go. And then he had a huge block on Halliburton. Why did I say his name like that? It's because I wrote Hallie. I just wrote his short version in my notes. I went with
Berry.
Hallie Burton.
Hallie
with
Burton.
Halliburton.
Hallie Berry.
Huge block. And he was like, I don't know if it was because of the All-Star snub or he was even pumped that he gets to go on vacation during the break with his kids and his wife, but like, AD was showing emotion. Did you see him like screaming at the crowd? Like, he was fired up. You do not see that from him all that often. Pacers also, they put a lot of pressure on the, the Lakers put a lot of pressure on the Pacers. They shot 16 free throws in the final quarter. Pacers shot 0. Rick Carlisle was not happy with that. But, you know, you had LeBron and AD going in there. It was a fun game. Really, really entertaining ending. And AD was pretty clutch. LeBron, 63 points away. It's looking very, very likely it's going to happen on that Thursday night game next week against the Bucks.
I guess he could do it before.
Yeah. He could do it before. Could happen again Tuesday night against the Thunder, which is on national television too, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
And it's happening Tuesday or Thursday next week.
They play what? The Pelicans on Saturday, I think, is the next game. Somebody asked LeBron, you got a 63-point game and you had to break this record? He's like, yeah. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I do. Pretty good luck.
Okay. And any thoughts on the crazy Knicks ending against the Heat? Slipping and sliding, nearly coughing that one up, or any of the other games. Jesus Murphy.
Well, I will say, Norm just
and a cough at the same time. Too much throat going on.
Too much throat going on.
Please delete that, JD. I can't believe I said that out loud.
What were you gonna say?
You need a Halle Berry cough candy. Berry cough candy.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I would just say the Clippers, Norm Powell, I think, is sort of, I know I'm jumping over back to the Clippers, but he's sort of being overlooked as the lead sixth man of the year candidate. I think it's his.
Oh, Powell.
Right now.
He's balling.
He is, you know, a slightly back of Ben Mathurin in terms of points per game off the bench, 17.3 compared to Mathurin's 18, but his percentages are ridiculous. Ridiculous. 50% from the floor and 44% from three. Even that surprised me because he's been doing it the last few weeks where he is on fire. He has just perfected that role. He wanted to be a starter with the Raps, and he, you know, he kind of went in between starter, backup, starter, backup, starter, backup, got traded for Gary Trent after being a big part of that championship run. Now, you know, I joked about trading him for Gary Trent again. Would you do it? Yeah. Do it again. I think like it might that. Make everybody happy. But also, just from that game quickly, I love the Bucks purple uniforms.
So do I. Love it.
I
love
stand
it.
Out.
You know what I wish they did, though? I wish when they wore those purples that they did something with the court a little bit. Give me a little purple in that all that green. Just make your logo even. Just make it purple. It'd look cool.
I love a matching court.
Yeah.
To an alternate uniform. I think the Bucks do have, like, they have a blue court, right?
Yeah.
That matches their blue uniforms.
Yeah.
They just didn't want to go too hard on the hardwood.
This is going to sound really stupid as soon as I say it out loud, but I was thinking this exact thought watching that game going, ooh, I love those purples. Ooh, I wish there was some purple on the floor. Ooh, they already have a lot of courts. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of work. Do you think we're going to see floors that'll be exactly the feeling of hardwood, so it won't change there, but that will be the ability to change, like, because it's obviously digital, that you can, like, change it quarter by quarter, game by game easily, whatever you want to put there. Do you think we'll ever see that in our lifetime?
So on television, it's digital, you're saying?
Yeah, it's like, well, it's digital to everybody. And it just has the feel, though, of a hardwood floor. Because
sure, they'll try it.
I mean, why not?
Type it in. Maybe if you're at home, you want to change the color of the floor, and you can change it.
Wow.
On your
TV. I
thought
about that, but I was thinking more like they have the ability to change it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess my point is, they have one floor, but you can make it a million different variations.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've seen some cool floor stuff, right? Like the Kawhi shot thing where, like, you could see his little footsteps go into the corner.
Yeah,
I remember, like, some MLK Day games. They did, like, cool tributes to MLK here in Atlanta where the floor is, like, using all the 3D lights and cameras and stuff. That's how they would have to do it, because I don't like the idea of going to a game, being there and the floor is plain so that you can then...
No, but I'm saying it. But I'm saying it. It's lighting up.
It's lighting up.
It's lighting up in the arena.
Well, I like that.
That's where I'm going.
Okay. Yeah. I wonder if it would bother the players' eyes.
Yeah, you're talking like a disco floor where literally the wood changes color.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
And you can put
whatever you want. You can change color. Whatever you want.
Yeah. It's going to bother the players' eyes.
What? What do you mean?
I don't know if it bothered them. But anyway.
It would be just like what you're talking about. It's just a different court. You would just set the court and leave it for that just to match the jerseys.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
He just thinks there'd be
a reflection or whatever.
Yeah,
We're
thinkers.
It's cool. It's cool.
Tess, it's like a Kindle, like a paper Kindle. You know what I mean? It looks like paper, right? But it's wood.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Okay.
Somebody's building it right now.
Man, lighting is everything. You're right.
Building it.
Yeah.
We are thinkers. We also think about the referees. And I just wanted to point this out because we've been talking a lot about the referees and about humanizing the referees. They're people, too. Unfortunately, sometimes they get humanized a little too much by the National Basketball Referees Association. But Stan Van Gundy brought this up, that he was on a plane with Josh Tiven, the crew chief for the game.
Okay, where is this going?
He brought up and he said that Josh Tiven was talking about his kids and how his kids watched the game. And Stan Van just brought it up that brought up the idea that a kid watching his or her parent be a referee in the league and how their emotions. And listen, we've been talking about these odd NBA referee trivia games that we've had. So I just wanted to humanize the refs a little bit more. They're people, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're psychos. They're weirdos. Why would you ever want to be an NBA ref? Why? What? You're power hungry. There's something going on. Anyway. Let's get to five-star Friday.
I hope Sadie and Shay, I believe those are Josh's kids' names, really enjoyed Josh's work last night in that game. I thought he did a marvelous job.
JD,
you should be proud.
Five-star Friday. I'm tired of talking about the Tizens. Oh, yeah. Okay. What are we doing here, TK? For someone new to the show, what's Five-Star Friday?
Five-Star Friday, we read five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts from the previous month. We believe that these five-star reviews help us climb the rankings. We're pretty sure that's what's happening.
These do.
Yeah, these do. It's nice to get a review. So get them in on Apple Podcasts. I don't even care which country you're in. I was even looking at the Canadians.
Oh, you were bouncing around.
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
Yeah, so like I said, friendship theme on Friendship Friday here. First one comes from Z-Choff. These are my friends. Started listening to No Dunks during the NBA bubble in 2020 when my daughter was born. This show got me through 2 months in the NICU and has kept me smiling and up to date ever since. Now, I know there's a YouTube show. I never remember to put it on because I love to listen to the podcast while doing something else. Mm-hmm. The show is still excellent in podcast form. That's talent. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you, Z-Choff.
That honestly means a lot. And I am not being sarcastic, and I know that came out very sarcastic. That means a lot because, you know, we are doing a live YouTube show, but we don't want to forget about those podcast listeners. And we try our best to paint the picture sometimes.
Still a podcast, yeah. Baby.
Do we want you to come over, check it out on YouTube? Sure. But I love podcasts. I love doing other things while I'm listening to people talk about basketball, too. So thank you for that.
Appreciate it. Isn't YouTube the third biggest podcast platform?
Well, yes.
That's,
yes,
what,
yes.
People, that's what people do.
That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying.
Yeah. We're on them all.
I think so. You never know.
Yeah, what was the one?
Are we on Podbean still?
Oh, we're still on Podbean.
Okay, good.
Pod Galaxy? What was that? We had something in a playback.
Stitcher, we had problems.
Oh, Stitcher, we had problems. Stitcher. Oh, we put so much work into Stitcher.
I know. There's one guy. Just for one guy.
Just stitching them all together.
Yeah. The only thing you're missing, what was the guy's name? Z-Choff. I mean, a lot of Culver's chat and a lot of Trey Throat. Chat here. That's the only thing you're missing. And our faces.
Oh, in the chat.
Yeah, in the chat. The stream team. They were chat. Culver's, that was a big pop in this chat over here.
We must have a lot of Midwesterners watching the show.
Our man, Brent Ferrari.
Vroom.
Yep.
Hey, he ran one, I think.
He ran a Culver's?
I think so.
I believe that's true.
These
are the things you pick up at the VIP show.
You're right.
That's because because
you know everything about us, but we don't know a lot about you.
That's right. That's right. So you buy a VIP ticket, and then we'll chat you out on the show.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to learn about Culver's. I would love to.
Yeah, I mean, he worked there, and he was recommending it. So that's good, right?
He's a good businessman, I would say.
Well, I don't think he owned it or anything, but I think he was just like, I work there, and I love it. So anyways,
all right.
Shout out to Culver's.
Tasty.
Yeah, butter burgers and cheese curds. They're very good. Next review comes from Blahoot.
Blahoot
writes in, the basketball fanatic friends I wish I had. I hope they continue joking around and talking hoops and whatever else well into their old age.
Well, we're already there.
Thanks, Blahoot.
Blahoot reminds me of, I had an idea to create a cartoon a long time ago called Gift Horse and Blammo. Because I saw a little drawing in, I think it was Sneaky D's. Remember the graffiti bathroom at the bottom of Sneaky D's? And I saw a little horse and then some other little character. I can't really remember what it was, sort of like a nondescript character. And for whatever reason, Gift Horse and Blammo came up. And I just thought it sounded cool. It would make for a good cartoon. You can take that if you want. Go nuts.
Somebody submit us like a storyboard for Gift Horse and Blammo.
I remember Thony, our buddy Thony was like, he loved it too. And like, we were talking about like, all right, what's the story about? Like, we were like doing drawing boards and shit.
Do they say, don't look a gift horse in the mouth every episode?
I think that's, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're just waiting for it to happen?
Yeah.
Nice, I like that. Yeah.
So you took a piss. You went back to the table over nachos.
I think I took a photo of the graffiti because it like spoke to me. I was like, I don't know. There's something about these little characters I like.
And then you just pitched it. I love it.
That's how I, like, GD, I'm an ideas man. This is what I do. This is all I do. Come up with stupid ideas and don't follow through on them. Except this one. The one first thing.
That's always our
thing. Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Gift Horse and Blammo is a great title. For a cartoon, sounds like a cartoon you may have worked on at once upon a time, GD.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Next review comes from Serena, who says, makes me smile. This podcast makes my boyfriend smile, which makes me smile.
Oh.
He listens to the pod on our weekend drives and is always laughing. I do like when they randomly talk about reality shows, i.e. Vanderpump Rules. They provide basketball information that even I can easily follow along with. Highly recommended. That's from Serena in Toronto.
6-6.
Great review. Can't wait to be in the home of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Wow.
In just a few weeks.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to reprise the best NBA moments from Salt Lake City.
Yeah, maybe. Like we were, my wife and I, Nora, we were having like almost like a contest, dare I say, trying to like, almost like Pokemon Go, collect them all, where we were trying to see if, find all the Atlanta housewives. Because we were like, she would run into one or see
around
one.
Around here. Yeah.
I would run into one, whatever. And so it was a nice little battle we had going. That's a pretty good idea, actually. Man, I'm full of them today. Pokemon Go reality housewives.
That's not bad.
There you go, Andy. That one's on the house, too.
Yeah, I was trying to chase down Chris Lee Knows Best, but they sent my guy to jail, so.
Yeah.
See you when you get out, buddy.
enough with the fraud there, buddy. Go to jail. Didn't they both get...
Yeah, both Chris Lees.
About the Salt Lake City, too, Nora had it on yesterday. I think it was one of the reunion shows. At the end, I wasn't watching, but at the end, I heard them go, "Go Jazz." Because there were the whole blowies and tickets and all this thing going on. They literally started joking about "Go Utah Jazz" at the end.
I love it. We got to get Andy Cohen a No Dunks jersey. Just to wear during those reunions.
We should try and reach out and get a Real Housewives of Salt Lake City to come to our live show. I bet they would.
Cause some drama? Yeah. Put in the brainstorms. This guy's an idea. He can't stop right now.
I can't stop. It's pouring out of
you
me.
You thought it was over when he said, light up wood. What? Nope. That was just getting the ball rolling. Next podcast is from Nikki Hessling. Thumbs up. I don't even like basketball, but I like this podcast.
All right.
Likes ideas, I think.
Look at that. Right before the new year hit, yep. He's like, I got to get this off in 2022.
Let me get this one in real quick here.
Yeah. He or she, I should say.
Much appreciated. Yeah. Yeah. Final one. Jake Summers. Title is Pod Gods. 5 stars. First heard about you guys on a recommendation from Paul Scheer.
Yes.
On the How Did This Get Made podcast about 4 years ago. I haven't missed an episode since. I recommend No Dunks to every basketball fan I know. And I listen to all the spinoff pods. Thanks for giving me a reason to wake up in the morning. Jake, thanks for your review. Paul Scheer, thank you for recommending us 4 years ago.
I forgot about that.
Wonder if he still listens. I know one of the things he really liked about the show was that it was just a quick 22-minute recap of the night before.
So he's maybe not listening as much as
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe he likes it more now.
Well, it was 4 years ago.
Exactly.
We were doing the starters.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The game's changed.
Clippers fan, Paul Scheer.
Paul Scheer, yeah. Definitely.
Huge.
Great podcast, How Did This Get Made? Though I was upset with their rad episode a long time ago. I was slightly disappointed. Wish I was invited on to talk about it. Thought they left a lot to still explore about the movie. But anyway, otherwise I love it. I love the pod. I listened to it on a camping trip with our buddy Jared once. Out loud camping, listening to How Did This Get Made?
To a podcast together.
Yeah, with his brother. And it was awesome.
We just kicked back, throwing a cast.
Yeah, we listened to one or two, just sitting around the fire, just laughing away. I forgot what the movies were. It was good, though. Highly recommend
cool,
that.
Cool, man. Cool.
Podcast and fires.
Yep. Man, they did a whole bunch of Christmas movies. Nice.
Cool.
Nice.
5-Star Fridays. We love them. Get them in. You got a whole month. Get your new crop in. And maybe there'll be a theme to the next month, too. I like the friendship theme.
That was nice. Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Wouldn't you love to travel without the actual, traveling part? For example, I want to go to Lisbon, let's say. I just snap my fingers, I'm there. No driving to the airport, no flight delays, no fools at security who still don't know that, yes, you need to take your laptop out of your bag and place it in the tray. Oh my God, how long have we been doing this? Travel without traveling. I want it both ways, but that's not possible. It is with Mack Weldon, though. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort. But this is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I've got it all. I got the Air Knit underwear. I got the Ace Collection sweatpants. I've got the Silver Peak polo. Everything fits perfectly. All I get is compliments. Mack Weldon has figured this stuff out. Because performance fabric usually means clothes that look or feel sort of techy or shiny. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of a busy life. They look like regular clothes, which is good. I want regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with the promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS. Okay, picking results last night. Pelicans, Mavs. Wow. This got a little too close for comfort for some of us that were backing the Mavericks, because they were up by, what were they up, 30? In this game?
Yeah.
It was huge.
They were up big
like
time.
Luka left.
Without Luka.
Yeah. Well, they were. Yeah, yeah. Luka got them that lead. Then he leaves. And, I mean, I saw the score. I had the Mavs, so did Trey. And I was like, 4.5 is the line. They got to win by 5. And I was like, uh-oh, Luka's not playing. Watch this game get close. And holy crap, did it ever. And in the end, correct me if I'm wrong, they did just cover. Yeah, yeah, they covered by 5. After a 30-point lead, they hung on. And 1 by 5, so they win. That's a win for Trey and I. He is still on fire, this guy. Tass looking for his first W in February. Maybe tonight, Tass. What's the game?
Sacramento at Indiana. The teams that traded stars last year, Haliburton and Sabonis. They've played once previously, that one in Sacramento, where they won by 23 at home. This one in Indiana. And they're getting 3.5 points at home, so that's why I'm comfortable taking them. A little revenge for losing in Sacramento. They just have to lose by 3 or obviously win the game to cover. You guys have Sacramento. The two of you think that Sacramento will win by 4 or more.
Just a quick correction. Trey has Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
And I am just backing him.
Right.
He is on fire. Yeah, should be good. I mean, Pacers played last night, so there is that little back-to-back situation. Mm-hmm, but so we'll see. Should be a good one. Tass has the Pacers. We got the Kings. Let's do Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Yeah, a little full circle here with Tweet of the Night. Sort of back to the All-Star Reserves. At ESPN underscore McMahon. Tim McMahon of ESPN tweeted, Jason Kidd commends... Not condemns. It is commends the Kings for sending West coaches wine and basketball cards to promote the All-Star candidacy of Sabonis and Fox. So a little gamesmanship there from the Kings. Trying to get some votes there, Tass. We talked about this. There's a lot going on when it comes to these things. It got Sabonis in. Was he the wine? And was Fox the trading cards, the paninis?
Like,
I don't
cards.
Know. Like, these are worthless. We're not voting for him. But anyway, I thought it was a fun tweet just to bring up this idea of, like, trying to – I mean, that's basically trying to buy votes.
Didn't Chauncey Billups say something along the same lines where he's like, yeah, some teams are just bribing us. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe this is how we ensure that the head coaches actually do the voting in the All-Star game. They're like, the only way you're getting our wine and our cards is if you – put pen to paper. I think it's smart. And I want to see the cards.
Would you enjoy getting some wine and some trading cards in the mail?
I would throw it out immediately.
Both?
You can't buy me.
Oh, that's
you can't buy my vote. Yes.
Respect.
Nice.
I would pretend I would throw it out, and obviously I'd consume it all. I imagine they are catered packages too. They know that Chauncey Billups likes X. Like, you know.
Oh,
I hadn't
thought about that.
Yeah.
You don't think they're sending wine and cards to everybody?
I don't think they're sending Jason Kidd a Chardonnay. They're sending him a Pinot Grigio because that's what he likes. You know what I mean?
Does he like basketball cards? Does Jason Kidd love ripping packs? That's sort of funny.
He's just a big kid.
He can't legally drink.
I'm sure it's just a pack stacked of his own cards.
Oh, do you think there's any of Jason Kidd's
cards? Yes. What card do you think he likes the most in the world? Himself. Yeah, no, I'm not saying this about Jason Kidd. They probably sent Chauncey Billups the exact
bunch
same
of Billups
thing.
Cards?
Yeah.
Just keep the Kings in mind.
Yeah.
Enjoy these cards.
They sent Nick.
Here's your rookie card.
Nick Nurse played basketball at some level. They sent Nick Nurse cards of him playing at that level. You know, they did some work. They did some work.
Custom cards.
Yeah, Nick Nurse played college. This is your college card, Nick Nurse.
Did he? I didn't know that.
He must have.
why did he must have?
Really? College
Nick Nurse, I'm checking.
I feel like
your
he does.
College card, sure. Vote for De'Aaron Fox.
Nick Nurse.
I love it.
Yep.
He played from 85 to 89 at the University of Northern Iowa.
I knew as Iowa. That's where he's from. Yep, yeah.
Purple and gold. Yep. What's their team name? I forget.
Oh, you can get
it's
it.
An eagle?
Hey, this.
Is gold? That a wildcat?
Close.
Cougar?
Close.
Bearcat?
Close.
Jaguar?
Close.
Tiger?
Well, you're
Puma?
Still close.
Puma?
You're really close now.
Panther.
Bingo.
Yeah. Panthers. A lot of Panthers out there in northern Iowa.
Keep your head on a swivel. All right, let's wrap up.
Oh, finally, getting to the quickest segment of all.
That's right. Paul Scheer's favorite segment here. It only takes 20 minutes to do rapid-fire questions. Trey, you've got the cues. We've got the answers. Let's do it.
A 22-year-old woman was recently busted for posing as a 13-year-old and playing in a JV basketball tournament. Parents knew something was wrong when the woman celebrated the win by chugging a beer Stone Cold Steve Austin style.
Hell yeah!
Good win.
Fellers, which game would you dominate against teenagers? Skeets.
NHL 94 on the Sega Genesis. That's the important part here. Three buttons, baby. That's all I need, and a D-pad, and I'm getting to work. I would wax these kids, these teens, at NHL 94 on the Sega. That was my platform of choice.
Great platform. They'd be very confused. Why is my controller attached to it?
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Yeah. And where are the top buttons, and where are the back buttons, and none of that.
I'm also going with a video game. Mm-hmm. Slightly more recent, the N64, because I just recently downloaded this old N64 package for the Nintendo Switch that had a bunch of old games on it. I tried to get my daughter into those games because she's into the Nintendo Switch, but we played. She tried playing multiple games in this package. We got a Mario Party on there. We got some Yoshi Party. But every time she would look at it and start playing it, and the graphics are just so horrendous. And N64 compared to now. And I thought, okay, we're not playing a Nintendo. We're not playing a Super Nintendo. We're playing an N64, a third gen. I thought it would be fine. But they're so bad. Even
I. 64-bit, man.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of bits. That's a lot of bits.
A lot of bits.
It's not 16 bits. It's not 32 bits. It's 64 bits. Anyways, I love the 007. I'll play that. That's my game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
GoldenEye.
Great game.
So you would.
Who's your main? Your odd job?
Oh, you can't take odd job. Yeah, that's a cheat.
I can go. Jaws. I can literally play with anybody. Give me a Boris that I don't like, but I'll win with him just to spite everyone.
I'll go Boris.
When do you think the N64 came out? In America. In America.
I'm going to say 98.
96.
Yeah, 97.
It's 96. September 96. Wow,
that's a long
time ago.
That's
a long time ago, man. We were teens.
Wayne Gretzky hockey. That was one of the first games I had. Oh. Wasn't that what that was? Wayne Gretzky 3D hockey? All I know is Valerie Kamensky was money for the Colorado Avalanche.
Valerie Kamensky, number 13, ripping it from the right wing.
Here we go. Oh, no.
Wow, can you put hockey music in the middle of rapid-fire music? Sounds like a Skeets idea if I ever heard one. Man, talk about bits. We're doing at least 64 in this one. JD, which game would you dominate against teenagers?
Yeah, it's this one right here.
Here it is.
Risk, baby.
Oh,
Risk.
Well, that is a cool-looking edition of Risk.
60th anniversary of Dish.
60th anniversary of Risk. I recently played this with 13-year-olds.
Yeah. What'd you do? What's your strategy?
I Australia.
Yeah.
I hunker down, and then slowly make my way through Asia. And, you know, Lincoln, he's amazing at Risk. But he's also, you know, 16. But 13-year-olds, they don't have the patience. Mm. They spread themselves way too thin.
Yep.
And you just play the old man game. which is patience and fortify and slowly take over the world. So it's Risk.
How long did it take, your game?
Oh, it's still going. It's still going. It's been months. Nah, yeah. Just kidding.
Oh. Well, some people keep it set up.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, totally. We've had it set up for weeks before. But this game lasts about 6 hours. Started in the afternoon and ended, you know, sort of late
There are,
evening.
Like, fast versions, too, right?
Yeah.
There's little modified versions.
Yeah. I play old school.
Yeah.
You got to.
Yeah, it's the whole point of the game. Yeah.
Let's throw down. We should throw down a four-man Risk.
We should always have a Risk game going.
That was our finals week activity in college. Yeah. All the time, just have the game out to play when it's like, oh, I don't have a final until Thursday, so I got 6 hours to throw down in Ukraine.
Great idea.
Our friend Jason Concepcion was recently on Jeopardy, mm-hmm. wearing double florals while presenting a category titled Jason Concepcion.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It used clues from his empire of pop culture commentary as jumping off points for the contestants. So guys, what's a Jeopardy clue that would show up in a category about you, Skeets?
All right, I'll take Skeets for 400, please. Ken. Is it Ken Jennings?
Yeah, Ken. Okay. But Miriam as well.
Oh, they got the rotating thing still happening?
Maya. Okay. Maya.
Anyway, I think this would be an easy one. That's why I put it 400. For nearly all 3,000 episodes of his popular NBA podcast, Skeets has opened the show with this obnoxiously cheerful four-word phrase.
Nice one.
That's not bad, right?
That's really good. No answers here. Leave them in the stream.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
You already wrote one of these on Twitter.
I did. That was a Survivor Jason Concepcion
Wow. You got the category
twist.
Going.
Yeah, man.
You're almost done.
That's right.
What's a Tasmellus Jeopardy clue?
Oh, mine's pretty generic. This Greek-Canadian worked at the 2004 Olympics creating basketball highlight packages, but also as a runner who utilized his language skills for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation since he has become an American citizen. Who is... T-Bones.
You think they'll allow that?
Yeah.
Kind of have to look off screen. Ding, ding. Okay.
Yeah,
that's count it.
Yep. Okay. JD.
Mine is. So the category is Jason Doyle.
Yeah.
Yes. So here is the question. I think 400 as well. Okay. In the early 90s, he spent 2 years on this northernmost Greek island, opposite. The Albanian frontier.
Ooh, great one.
This is good.
That is good.
Very good. All right. So they're out there. Everybody get your answers in the stream team, or if you're listening later, tweet at us at NoDunksInc.
Final rapid fire question. No Dunks fan at Ricky Borba sent us a picture of a poll from a recent Jazz Raptors game where the broadcast asked fans to vote for their favorite Canadian. Got some big names to choose from.
Okay.
Gretzky, Drake, Bieber. Dion.
Marcel?
Nobody calls Celine Dion by her last name, huh? Anyways, when I saw the poll, the great one was in the lead, but I think it finished up with Celine Dion taking home the dub.
Oh, wow.
Now, these are obviously very notable Canadian names. Everybody knows these
Canadians,
of course.
They should have spelled favorite with a U. Come on.
Yeah. that would have been the way to do it. But the question I have for you... Also notable Canadians. Who's your favorite deep cut Canadian? Don't say Michael J. Fox.
Right. Okay.
Don't say it.
I won't. I think I didn't put this together until right this second, but my answer is probably inspired subconsciously by the tweeter that you said his name was Ricky. Because I'm going with the Trailer Park Boys.
Ah.
Ricky, Julian, and Bubbles. Those are my deep cut Canadians. If you've never watched the Trailer Park Boys, it's weird, but it's a lot of fun. A little Canadian mockumentary sort of sitcom series. It ran for 12 seasons.
Really?
12 That's seasons. And I think there's movies and But Ricky, Julian, and Bubbles, in no particular order, I love them all. Those are my deep cut Canucks.
Cool. That's a nice way to say it. Changing it. Tass, who is your favorite deep cut Canuck?
Deep cut Canuck. Mine is Russell Oliver.
He owns
a chain of jewelry stores, and he's just a genuine weirdo who makes great commercials. I think we have it, JD.
Oh, yes.
Hello, I'm Russell Oliver, and I buy your used jewelry. If you have gold rings, gold earrings, I'll give you cash. If you have diamonds, bring them to me. I'll give you cash. I love gold. Bring me your old gold, and I'll give you cash. Because...
I'm your cash man. I'll give you money for your gold. Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm the cash man. I'll give you money for your gold.
Way to go, Russell Oliver.
Yeah.
You know, he's not as deep a cut as I thought because I sent that to JD and he said, damn it, you stole my guy.
Yeah. What? I had Russell Oliver as well. Well, I actually had him as my Jeopardy question because that video, that specific commercial, I mean, he has hundreds.
Yeah.
That one was, we actually took that as our template for the Shaq video. And that was going to be my
right
question.
The wedgie.
Yeah.
Shaq.
Yes. So, but yeah, stole it. And then I thought, oh, maybe I'll make him my Canadian as well. But you know, Taz sent it to me.
I'm your cash man.
That's funny you say that. So he's stolen a few things. He said that I read an article about him last night. He said this. Oh yeah, is Kramer's yeah from Seinfeld?
Really?
Because okay. Seinfeld said yeah once. Or he said it a lot, I guess. I mean, because she's crazy.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, buddy.
Yes. Yeah, buddy. he also was sued by our former employers, Time Warner, because he wore a Superman costume in one of his commercials. Oh. He pretended to be Superman.
Can't take
Superman. That was one of his firsts. Anyways, he's killing it. He's still opening stores.
Is he really?
Now.
Holy.
I think James Gunn should cast him as the next Superman.
Well, what about a villain? Just Cashman.
Cashman.
He's just got lots of money and gold and jewelry and ladies dancing with him. Yeah, that guy was a weirdo. But memorable commercials. Holy crap. Once those were, they'd get stuck in your head for weeks.
Yeah, I'll be singing that one for a while.
Yeah.
For sure. Mine is Mark Daly. Remember Mark Daly?
Newscaster?
Newscaster, voiceover man, basically the face and voice, more the voice of City
the
TV.
The voice, for sure.
And I have a little montage of some of his works. So,
yeah. CanCon,
this is going to take you back.
All right.
Mark Daly for City Pulse. The young lad was able to tell police that he came to the Queen Street Mental Health Center here at Queen and Ossington to know that the motive had something to do with the dispute with one of the tenants of this building.
The
19-year-old victim got on the bus here at Markham and Brigmore, just south of Ellesmere. There's quite a bit of blood at the scene, and they've admitted there is a man believed to be middle-aged with serious head injuries.
There's been some evidence that this could have been some kind of tragic drug misadventure. This woman was well-known to police in the area.
Stay with City TV as we take you away from all this regular programming stuff to show you what television really can be. Oh, I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong copy. Late great movies are next. City Pulse, tonight.
Bad jokes.
Good evening. Two breaking stories in the past half hour, one from entertainment, one from sports. Joe Carter's back as a Blue Jay, and British author Salman Rushdie has popped up at a downtown theater.
You're about to enter the vast world of late great movies. Big deal, right? Tonight we're repeating a movie we had about a month ago because we feel like it, and I like it.
That's public property there, son. From Nug and Dundas, this is City TV everywhere.
He literally did the voice, like, he did all the stings. Oh, he did everything.
Took me back, man.
Right? He's the best. Anyway, Mark Daly, RIP. He died in 2010.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of cancer.
You don't like...
Lived a good life, though.
That guy, he should have been one of the Dateline correspondents with a voice like that.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
He's Keith Morrison, who's also Canadian, I think.
Well...
Right?
I don't know, actually.
The old-ass Dateline guy with the crazy voice in all those interviews? Yeah, that's what he sort of reminds me of.
Here's the crazy thing about Mark Daly, as my favorite deep-cut Canadian, not born a Canadian. He was born in Ohio, but he became a Canadian citizen.
Oh, thank God.
But,
wow.
It's like one of my favorite deep-cut Canadians, Joel McMillan.
That is a deep cut.
Yeah, that's a very deep cut. That's a less deep cut. He has appeared on Productions.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That took me back, man, watching that. Holy.
It's like the voice of our childhood.
I know. Mark and just like those fun interstitials, like between commercials or like coming back or whatever. City TV, they were everywhere. Just like us. Well, we're everywhere, I guess.
Sure,
we're on YouTube.
All over the world, yeah.
Hit 1 million likes on TikTok. We're on Instagram. We're on Podbean. We may or may not be on Stitcher.
It's hard to tell.
Who knows? That's it, though. That's a Drop Podcast. That was Rapid Fire Fun. That's for you, Paul Scheer. Thank you so much for joining us live. We really appreciate it. Nice to see those likes just skyrocketed when I asked.
Yeah.
Went from 100 to nearly 400 in the blink of an eye. People just got to be reminded.
Yeah.
Just asked or told sternly. But thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll be back on Monday. It's a big week next week.
Yeah.
It's trade deadline week. We're going to have some trades. Possibly starting this weekend. Hell, we might have an emergency podcast at some point this weekend. We got to be ready. Everybody be ready.
Get on your game.
Okay. But yeah, we'll be here on Monday at the very least. 10 a.m. Eastern from the Classic Factory with your winners and losers of the NBA weekend. We got our guy Jerome flying down from Toronto to be here in the factory for most of the trade deadline week. So we can pump out the content. So hopefully it should be a fun, very busy week next week. And then the following week, obviously, we've got All-Star Weekend. Man, great time to be an NBA fan. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. We love you all. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, leave your DCC, your Deep Cut Canuck, down in the comments below. Hit it up.
Somebody said that today's special did air in America. Did you see that on Twitter?
I did not.
I was happy to know that.
Wow, what a coup for Clive Vandenberg.
That's a deep cut.
Deepest.
Embrace the day, people. Embrace the weekend.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.